The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way. Something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show. And today, you will be treated with a rendition describing that part of the federal executive branch of government that deals with equality, employment, opportunity, and how these three aspects are dealt with within the framework of our country by our government. Today, we discuss the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission of the executive branch of government. Ladies, do you like your paycheck? Do you think you are being treated fairly by the workplace that you're in? Looking at the numbers relating to women's pay and how it compares to men's, we see things have changed dramatically from the 60s to now. On average, women in the 60s earned 58.9% of a man's pay, while today that figure stands at 77%, or sometimes as high as 81%, depending on where you seek or find your information. That is improvement. But why? The inequality with regard to just this one aspect of employment, equal pay, was one of the major focal points in why it is that today we have the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Now go back to the year 1961, and it was the administration of John F. Kennedy who, through an executive order, created the Committee on Equal Employment Opportunity. This Committee on Equal Employment Opportunity would be the forerunner of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, as I will refer to it. In 1963, the Congress passed the Equal Pay Act, which protected men and women from sex-biased wage discrimination. With the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the actual EEOC was established on July the 22nd, 1965. Additionally, it should be noted that subsequent legislation added additional protections provided by statute in the following legislation that was enacted that created this EEOC. These were the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967, the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, then there is the ADA Amendments Act, and the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008. And finally, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act of 2009. The EEOC's mission was described under Title VII, in which it was specifically stated in the law to establish a commission on equal employment opportunity and for other purposes. This act and other governmental directives and/or regulations further identified and specified which employers fit under the guidelines of the Civil Rights Act and specifically enumerated that in order to fall under the guidance of Title VII, it was stated that you had to be involved in an industry affecting commerce with 15 or more employees for each working day in each of 20 or more calendar weeks in the current or preceding calendar year. Initially, for whatever reason, this did not include the following: the United States government, a wholly owned corporation, an Indian tribe, or any department or agency of the District of Columbia. And this is the final quote I'd like you to hear. Subject by statute to procedures of the competitive service, as defined in Section 2102 of Title V of the United States Code, which define competitive service including all civil service positions in the executive branch. Except, 1, positions which are specifically exempted from the competitive service by or under statute. 2, positions to which the appointments are made by nomination for confirmation by the Senate unless the Senate otherwise directs. 3, positions in the senior executive service. These are the upper-level managers. 4, civil service positions not in the executive branch, which are specifically excluded in the competitive service by statute. And lastly, positions in the government of the District of Columbia, which are specifically included in the competitive service by statute. And the last exemption, and I quote again, a bona fide private membership club other than a labor organization, which is exempt from taxation under the IRS code. Today, civil service employees are covered and can avail themselves of the services of the EEOC. Now, have you ever wondered what this EEOC or Equal Employment Opportunity Commission does? Just from the name, we know it has something to do with employment and the status of equality. From its own website, we find this. I quote, the EEOC is responsible for enforcing federal laws that make it illegal to discriminate against a job applicant or an employee because of the person's race, color, religion, sex, including pregnancy, national origin, age, 40 or older, disability, or genetic information. It is also illegal to discriminate against the person because the person complained about discrimination or filed a charge of discrimination or participated in an employment discrimination investigation or lawsuit. I'd like to include one additional quote from their website to you to consider while listening to this excursion into the workings of the EEOC. I quote, we also work to prevent discrimination before it occurs through outreach, education, and technical assistance programs. So you might ask, what types of covered issues would be investigated specifically as referred to just moments ago? Well, job decisions, employment practices, and other terms, conditions, and privileges of employment. Harassment based on the protected basis, reasonable accommodation, referral practices, labor organization practices, practices undertaken by apprenticeship and other training programs, advertising and recruitment, medical inquiries and examinations, maintenance and confidentiality of medical records, limiting, segregating, and classifying, retaliation, actions likely to deter protected activity. Now let's get back to the EEOC and describe the commission itself. The commission is comprised of 5 members, all appointed by the president, including the chair, vice chair, and 3 commissioners. Now, attached to this 5-member commission is also a general counsel, and he also or she is appointed by the president. This primary unit operates out of Washington, D.C., where its main offices are located. Additionally, the country is also divided into 15 district offices and then further subdivided into 37 local area and field offices located throughout the country, but primarily in the larger metropolitan areas of the individual states. From Wikipedia, we find that the EEOC is comprised of roughly 2,500 employees, this from a 2012 data set, and has a budget of $344 million, this from 2009. But when I looked at the commission's own budget and staffing numbers reported from 1980 to 2015, one finds that budget-wise, the number has grown from $124 million in 80 to $364 million in 2015, and that staffing from 1980 to 2014 has actually shrunk from 3,390 employees down to 2,098. Now, if one wonders why this total number of employees or FTEs, full-time equivalents, as they like to call them in the government, has shrunk, but the budget has continued to rise. One needs only to look to the commission and see that the commission uses many outside contract employees and agencies in order to do its work. And as a side note, it should be pointed out that it is not just the EEOC, but many other agencies of the government that are contracting out to private contractors. Within recent years, one of the primary contract companies was the Pearson Government Service Solutions, which provided services to the EEOC and other government entities. Recently, Pearson was bought out by Veritas and provided this quote from their website. Pearson Government Solutions has 5,500 employees working throughout the United States and in the UK, Canada, Mexico, Argentina, and Venezuela. Pearson Government Solution is ranked number 36 on Washington's Technology Annual Top 100 list of federal prime contractors. In my research, I found that in the 2016 congressional budget request by the EEOC, the number of employees has gone up to 2,347 full-time equivalents again, as the government calls it, Also, while looking at this 2016 budget request to Congress, one notes that there was an additional $27 million requested for, and this is in quotes, other services from non-federal sources. These are the contract employees that are answering our questions and costing us millions. Just try and get hold of the EEC if you're not filing a claim and just want information. Getting a live person is quite a challenge. What's interesting to note here is that the government uses these ancillary companies to be the primary contact point with citizen inquiries. These contact points, or CSRs as they are called, customer service reps, have the capability to answer basic questions relating to contracted governmental entities. But if necessary, they can seamlessly route you, the caller, to either a second-tier CSR or directly to a government operative. These citizen contact centers operate using sophisticated technology, making it extremely difficult to know whether you are communicating with a contract person or a real government employee. I should also note here that I could not obtain data specifically for the EEOC as to actual number of contract employees. Heck, one can't even find a real number for employees, especially after reading the definition of the FTEs. Try this out, listeners. FTE is defined by the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, as the number of total hours worked divided by the maximum number of compensable hours in a full-time schedule as defined by law. Now, does that realm fall in line with equal pay for working women? Let's just jump into the fray and find out. Here goes. According to most current U.S. Census Bureau income data, we find that the average woman working full-time makes $39,157, while her male counterpart earns $50,033. That translates to a woman only earning 78 cents to each dollar a male makes. Additionally, it should be realized that pay equality, or equality, oftentimes rests with the type of job you have and also the amount of time you have in that job. But the bottom line is, if you're employed and doing equal types of labor, you should be paid the same amount of money, period. Whether you're old, young, disabled, or able to do the job, male or female, black, Latino, Asian, or white. In fiscal 2013, the EEOC filed a total of 93,727 individual private sector charges of discrimination. I then looked at the number of total suits filed for 2013, but that number was only 148. These individual charges include all of the discrimination law charges enforced by the EEOC. I looked at the data and tried to see which of the discrimination groups was the highest, but that could not be ascertained due to the methodology that EEOC uses for its data. The EEOC in its charts provided percentages, but when you added up the percentage, that figure came out to 210.3%. I then double-checked the numbers to see if they came up to the total which I started earlier with, which was 93,727. But when adding the individual areas, I came up with 196,698. I reread a descriptive paragraph preceding this charge, and I'll let you, the listener, figure out what they mean by this. Let me quote, "The number for total charges reflects the number of individual charge filings. Because individuals often file charges claiming multiple types of discrimination, the number of total charges for any given fiscal year would be less than the total of the 10 types of discrimination listed." Man, if that doesn't sound like government gobbledygook, I don't know what does. But let's put it this way. I looked at the chart, taking under consideration that we could not get to 100%. I then looked at the government's numbers, and it appears that the highest category of discrimination complaint rested with retaliation and not age, race, sex, or disability. So let's just leave it at that. Also, the EEOC in 2012 instituted a new strategic enforcement plan, which had six priorities: eliminating barriers in recruitment and hiring, protecting immigrant, migrant, and other vulnerable employees. I guess this must be the illegals. Addressing emerging and developing issues, enforcing equal pay laws, preserving access to the legal system, preventing harassment through systematic enforcement and targeted outreach. Since we started this discussion with a statement about women, I believe it should be pointed out that although progress is being made in the White House, there are still problems. According to an article written in the Washington Post by Zachary A. Goldfarb and dated July 1, 2014, there is a pay gap between male and female employees of 13%. One would think that at least at the White House, the executive branch, where we all reside as far as these types of employment situations, one would find equity when it comes to pay differentials between the sexes. In 2012, the EEOC issued new enforcement guidance designed to restrict employers using criminal background checks for potential employees. One has to ask, is the safety of the public less important than the privacy in the hiring phase of a potential employee? But that, my friends, I will leave for another discussion within the confines of the Did You Know show. In summary, the EEOC provides a place for almost all employees to go when we believe that our rights have been violated regarding work discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, age, or genetic information now. This is what the EEOC was tasked for. I hope you have enjoyed this description of the EEOC, and if you have questions or comments, please feel free to contact me at theflypod.com. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.